What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again. It's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
Welcome back to Playtesting. It is episode 248. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. You can subscribe to WEEI, and you can find all the Playtesting episodes in the Playtesting playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on those for us if you can, and find us on the socials at Playtesting on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It's Sammy and Gordo here, and... Following, what, 2 out of 3 to the Royals, yes. The Red Sox continue to play great ball, but they're 0-1 since we last talked. But the big news, the Red Sox have signed star rookie Roman Anthony to an extension that takes him keeps him under team control through the 2034 season. So the Red Sox have control of this guy for this year and then 9 years after. You get 10 postseasons of Roman Anthony. It's a deal that shocked the not that it happened. I think there was some ambiguity, maybe the right word, about whether Roman Anthony was going to be the type of guy to want one of these extensions. He definitely kept his cards close to the chest about whether that extension was something he would be into. But the shock factor was that it happened in August while the team is playing great ball and making a postseason push. And Craig Breslow acknowledged as such that approaching a guy about an extension like this at this time of year with this much at stake, with this much going on, is a risk. If it doesn't go well, it has the risk to be a distraction. So they made a point to try to be super aggressive so that it could get done quickly, not get out, not be a distraction. And there you have it. They got the deal done. I was eating lunch and I practically choked on my food because I thought it was fake. But... no, it is very, 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 very real. And Roman Anthony is locked up, and it's just you've got 10 shots at this thing with this guy minimum. He's going to be entering his age 31 season when it ends. So it doesn't mean that this is it. We could talk about the future of it, but for now, man, 10 postseason chances with Roman Anthony, like that's got to sound. I mean, that's everything. I was smiling all day yesterday.
Yeah, how could you not be happy about this as a Red Sox fan? And it's not just Roman Anthony. Obviously, the focus of the show today is Roman Anthony, but you got Anthony locked up, Rafaela locked up, Christian Campbell locked up, Brian Bale locked up, and then a bunch of young guys on very team-friendly. Yeah, go ahead. Keep going. Hit them all.
All right. You've got Crochet through 2031, Campbell through 2034, Bale through 2030, Rafaela through 2032, Anthony through 2034, and then in terms of guys you've just got under rookie deals, Narvaez through 2030, Meyer through 2031, Abreu through 2029, Duran through 2028. Go on.
I'm just sitting here laughing while you go over this. This is the vision. You know, okay, the Mookie Betts trade, awful moment in Red Sox history. I would say one of the lowest points of the franchise to move a guy like that in his prime. But after we turn the page, we looked at teams like the Dodgers, even the Astros, teams like that who are good every year, year in and year out. And the vision was you have to build a young core, which is going to take a long time, and it has. Then you have to lock up that young core, which is what the Red Sox are doing. And then you have to supplement that young core, which is what the Red Sox have started to do with guys like Crochet, Bregman, Chapman. So it feels like this is the plan. This has been the plan. I don't want to let the Red Sox off the hook for... not spending in years past. I still think there were avenues to make a good contending team without harming the future very much. That said, it's in the past. This is exactly what you should want to see as a Red Sox fan. Roman Anthony is the crown jewel of this rebuild. I think Marcelo Meyer is great. I think Christian Campbell's great. All these guys are, there's a lot of talent on this team, but Roman Anthony is the number one guy here, and he's here for a long time, and I couldn't be happier. He seems thrilled. Obviously, he just got $130 million extension plus a $5 million bonus, so he's obviously happy, but his Instagram post today, I love that, just says, yeah. Home, beautiful, we're going to grow old together, Roman, oh my God.
You're already there, brother, but me and Roman, we're growing old together. Okay.
All right. How do you like my hair, buddy? But this is great. I saw some people, I won't name names, trying to spin this negative.
I'm telling you right now, do not
pay those people any mind. There is no negative spin for this. This is fantastic for everyone involved.
I almost tweeted at that 98.5 video like 10 times yesterday, and then every single time I almost did it, I decided no, because that's what they want you to I'm not going to do it. Not going to give it the time of day. They don't deserve it. But I
one guy was like, they posted the video of Roman hitting a walk-off, which went to the wall. That was technically only a single because the game ended before he got to second base. And he goes, this is the future, a single? Like that, you're like, what are you, man? Come on. That's so bottom of the barrel, like just reaching right there. This is great. Roman Anthony, by the way, he's 21. He's so far ahead approach-wise. I heard today.
He has the best approach on the team.
I heard just Baseball, another great baseball channel. Check those guys out when you're done here. They were comparing PCA and Roman Anthony, talking about who would you rather out of those two. And they're having this whole conversation. And then one of the guys at the end goes, oh, by the way, Roman Anthony's 2 years younger. Like, and look at PCA's numbers. The fact that it's a conversation, I don't even know what the ceiling is on Roman Anthony. It is perennial all-star.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the fact that they've structured the deal the way they did, which it's $16.25 million luxury tax hit if you average it all out, but it can grow substantially if he makes all-star appearances. It's like $200K for an all-star appearance. And then the rest, outside of the rookie of the year stuff, which like I think it adds like $1 million to $3 million, depending on where he finishes, it's all based off of MVP voting. Like this deal is structured for him to make more money by being a superstar. And you talk about, Sammy, what he's doing at his age at 21 years old. I mean, for his first 14 games, he hit 114 with a 518 OPS. The approach was there. He was hitting balls hard. Results weren't there. Since then, 32 games. You ready for this? At age 21, he's hitting in his last 32 games, 336 with a 919 OPS. And that is without home run power, which we know he has in him because he hits the ball as hard as anyone. I think it's top six exit velocity in the game in that stretch. And the home run power will come. That's obviously been like the one little knock on him is that maybe a few too many ground balls. Again, he's 21. He's not a finished product. We see so many guys come up and struggle, but this guy, it was 2 weeks. He struggled a little bit for 2 weeks. And at age 21, he's coming up younger than everyone else. And he's doing what he's done, hitting in the middle of and at the top of the Red Sox lineup while they are in a playoff race. It's been beyond impressive.
So the ground ball thing is totally a fair knock. He hits a ton of ground balls. And that's an issue for sure. But if you're 21 years old and that's the knock on you, 800 OPS, but too many ground balls, probably in a pretty good spot. And another thing, he has an MVP clause in his contract. He has
all MVP clauses
in his contract. Like
it's all MVP clauses. That all of his money is made off of MVP votes.
Think about that. He has a clause. If you win MVP, who do you talk about in that light? If you win MVP, like the best players in the league. And he has that in his contract. That just blows my mind. I think it's kind of funny, honestly.
Joe,
do you guys remember months ago, before Roman Anthony was going to get called up, all the concern about, oh, they're not going to bring him up because they're worried about losing a year of service time if he wins Rookie of the Year. Remember all those concerns that all of us were having?
But this is
me, though, saying that I think that now with them in first place in the wild card, sniffing the division, handing out this contract, I think to me, it's turning over a new leaf, and I fully trust that they're going to get Joe Ryan or someone to back up Crochet. Like, they are now going to go for it. No more of these supplemental moves like we saw at the deadline. This is a team, this is a front office that's going to push all their chips into the front of the table.
Go back, Joe. So you talked about the rookie of the year thing. So Jacob Wilson went down, fractured his forearm. Fair assumption at this point that that's going to be a long time, a long road back for him, and Roman Anthony, with the way he's been playing, very good shot at finishing second in the rookie of the year. So before all of this, before this extension, there's a chance that, hey, he wins or he comes in second, and now you've got 5 years of Roman Anthony after this. And like, yeah, 5 years is a long time. It's not something that, like, obviously, if that had happened, we're going to be happy for Roman that he did it, happy for him that he earned the service time, which he deserved because he got held back when he was definitely ready. But definitely there would have been some concern that, oh my God, are we really only going to get to see 5.5 years of this guy in Boston? Now you go from potentially 5 years after this year to now 10 postseasons of the guy. Like, I get it. He's only signed through his age 30 season. So Roman Anthony's contract at some point in time is going to be a discussion again. But you've locked in this guy's prime. Like, right now, he's already approaching. I mean, he's already for the season, even with the first 14 games. What is it, 820 something OPS right now? Like, it's up and up from here, and you've just added so much upside to it. And then on Roman's end, yeah, you get $130 million guaranteed and the chance to cash in again and the chance to get $230 million in that stretch. Like, that last option, that team option at the end, that can get over $50 million if he, I mean, he's going to have to win a bunch of MVPs, but like, there's a ton of upside in this deal and after the deal for him.
So, Gordo, two things. First, people are listening and you're not super locked into what's going on with the West Coast teams. Nick Kurtz is probably going to win the AL Rookie of the Year. That's why we're saying Roman Anthony will likely finish second. Kurtz has 23 home runs. He's hitting .305, has an OPS over 1,000. So he's on fire. He'll probably get that award. I think Roman Anthony is going to have a much better career overall, but that's who's going to win, if you were wondering. Second, so Roman's OPS right now is .809. Let me rattle off some names of guys who are in that range. You have Gunnar Henderson at .811, Josh Naylor, Spencer Torkelson at .810, and then slightly behind Roman, Yandy Diaz, Brandon Lau, All-Star Zach McKinstry, Junior Caminero, who's considered one of the best hitting rookies in the world, and Gordo's boy, Matt Olson. So for a 21-year-old rookie, you know, those aren't the best players in Major League Baseball, but they're friggin' pretty high up there. And to be in that conversation already, Josh Naylor, I mean, Gunnar Henderson's kind of a weird one because of the start he had. He's better than an .811 OPS. But
so is Roman. Those are good. So is Roman. Roman had the bad start. He's better than that too.
Fair. Yeah, that's fair. So just the fact that he's already in that conversation, Bo Bichette, who leads baseball in hits, .815 OPS. And he leads Joe Braverman's heart in love as well. But yeah, so that... Sorry, Christian Campbell just got hit by a pitch and I almost had a heart attack. He's okay. We're doing a daytime recording, which we don't normally do. This is kind of refreshing. No game today for the Red Sox. So anyway, Roman Anthony... I'm in such a good mood. My mind is just going all over the place right now. Roman Anthony, great hitter, not even in the ballpark of his prime yet. I can't wait to see year like 3 and 4 whenever we get there. It's going to be crazy.
It's hard to be less bothered by a loss than I feel like the collective Red Sox nation was yesterday. Like, when you come off winning 7 in a row and extending Roman Anthony, it's like, yeah, they lost a game in a series in which they still won. Like, yeah, we'll move forward, but they are 30-17 in games that Roman Anthony's played in. Like, we all talk about that Yankee series as that, for not the sweep, but the first Yankee series in Yankee Stadium. They got their bolts blown off the first game, but then they ended up winning the next two with the Hunter Dobbins and the Sunday Night Baseball, and that was kind of the start of everything. Roman got called up, I believe, the day after that. So they lost that first game on Monday against Tampa, and then they ended up winning that series. That's where it starts. Like, 30 and so like the start of the Red Sox that we see right now, that all started pretty much with this guy getting called up. Obviously, people will pull out the numbers of, oh, they've done this and that since the Devers trade, but I really think a lot of it has to do with, well, they've done this and that since Roman got called up, because he's just been everything. Like the approach, it helps everyone in the lineup around him. He's been hitting in the middle of the lineup. He's been hitting at the top of the lineup. And you just have to give them their credit because, Sammy, you mentioned it earlier in the show, they didn't do this with Mookie Betts. They let Mookie Betts play out his rookie deal to the end, to the point where no matter what they were offering, Mookie Betts is now a year away from free agency, two years away from free agency. It's like he could sniff it, and he wants to do right by the Union to get there, and he can't be convinced to sign that extension. Roman Anthony, he gets up there. Boston is his home. He loves the guys he's playing with. He loves playing at Fenway Park. Like we talk about, it is the most electric Fenway Park has been in years. And you've got Roman Anthony sitting in this crock pot of awesomeness. It was the perfect time to pounce. It really was.
Crock pot of awesomeness. I love that. You know what else nobody talks about with Roman Anthony? I think this is a sneaky big part of his game. He could be a plus defender too. Right now.
He already kind of is.
Defensive run saved. Yeah, you could argue he already is. He's got 5 defensive runs saved. That's playing left field and right field. At Fenway Park, which I know left field, there's a learning curve. And then once the guys learn it, it's generally not the hardest left field in the world because you're not covering a lot of ground. And then right field at Fenway, I think, is hands down the most difficult right field in all of Major League Baseball. And to be handling both of those with one mistake, basically, when the ball went out under his glove early on, and I don't think he's made a mistake since then, that's impressive. And I think you rarely ever hear about Roman Anthony's defense, which kind of makes sense when you have Sadon Rafaela and Gold Glove Willy Abreu in that same outfield. But that's another thing. This could be, along with the Chicago Cubs, maybe the best defensive outfield in Major League Baseball.
It has those been three. This year.
And then you have Duran, and I know Duran's defensive metrics aren't great this year, but he's at least an average defender. Yoshida, no comment on that. But yeah, you have 4 average to elite outfield defenders. 3 of those two I would put in that elite category. Roman Anthony is kind of like in between the average and elite. Very good defender. I digress. You have a good defensive outfield with him too. Kind of an underrated part of his game.
Yeah. I want to talk about something he was talking about in the press conference, just about how much he wanted to be here and to make this place home. He talked about, yeah, like, you know, people, and we talked about this with Christian Campbell after he signed the extension. Like, and this is what everyone who signs one of these rookie extensions will say. It's like, listen, like, this is life and family and generational wealth that alters yours and your family's lives. He's in a place that he's happy. And I think in spring training, when the Red Sox threw some extension offers at him that they kept on the down low, and you know, he certainly didn't leak that they did that, and it was a surprise to everyone that came out yesterday. But he didn't know what big league life was. He didn't know what Boston was. Like, all of this is new. Like, we talked to him about stepping foot in Fenway Park, and he's like, yeah, this is where the town was filmed.
Yeah, he was more excited about that.
Right.
In a respectful way, he was like, I love that movie.
But it's like, because this is a new life for him. Like we watch Roman Anthony fly through the minor league system, and it's like, okay, he was born to do this. But the truth is, until you've played Major League Baseball in Boston, you haven't played Major League Baseball in Boston, nor mm-hmm. had he played Major League Baseball. So it's fair to think to yourself, okay, like, let's get there. Let's see what this is before committing a decade of my life to it. And he got here and he realized, wow, this is home. This place is home. These people that I play with are home. This fan base is home. And having those guys locked in here not only is huge because you've got great players locked in here, but it's huge because now Marcelo Meyer, who's his best friend, like, he's going to want to stay here. The guys who come up and look up to Roman Anthony in the future, they're going to want to stay here. They're going to want to follow in his footsteps. Players from outside the organization, wow, they've got one of the best players in the league who, from the second he got there, wanted to be there and talked about how great it was. And he was willing to commit his career, or the best years of his career, to that team. Mm-hmm. It all makes a difference. This is how you change the landscape of an organization, is signing a deal like this. They didn't do it with Mookie. They didn't do it early enough with Devers. They didn't do, well, they kind of did it with Xander. They ended up letting him go later, but it's something they didn't do enough early on with guys. They didn't do it with Lester. But they did it here with maybe the most important guy of the bunch. We'll find out. We'll find out just how good this guy is going to be. And we're going to find out while he's playing in Boston. And that's what's important.
the way I view the Red Sox right now is there are three pillars player-wise to the team. It's Roman Anthony, who's the face of the young core. Garrett Crochet, who is at the top of your rotation for the foreseeable future. He's very good.
He is.
And then, hopefully, Alex Bregman as the salty, older veteran
salty.
Who leads these guys.
Come on, salty.
Salty veteran.
How old is he? Like 31? He's like younger than
you. But he's been around is what I'm saying. I'm like, he's had so much experience.
He has. He has
you don't
been
think he's a salty
that.
Veteran? Come on, that's a compliment.
Salty. Oh, I don't think he would like salty.
Salty veteran. It's a compliment. It means he knows his shit.
Salty veteran. I think of like Ian Kinsler on the 18 Red Sox as the salty veteran.
I've never heard a phrase with the word salty in it and seen it as a compliment.
Yeah, that's true.
So
salty veteran. Here, I'm giving you the definition.
Justice in Moneyball. That's a salty veteran.
Wait, no, that's video game. I looked at the.
There's your first problem: quoting things and taking them from video games.
Corey no, that's Kluber
not
on the.
That's not whatever. What I'm doing. You guys are both taking it out here. Salty veteran can refer to two distinct meanings, both stemming from the term salty and its association with experienced, a seasoned or experienced individual, often
seasoned.
In military.
Seasoned is good. Seasoned.
It's the same thing. Or
no, salty is like,
It either means that or it means someone who's irritable. So I'm using the first definition. He's a salty veteran. He's played like
in a good way, of course. Yeah, salty in a good way. Yes, of course. Naturally.
Yeah, I'm not saying like, he's salty.
I would not be putting Bregman and salty in the same sentence.
No, because you don't know what it means. I would, because I do know what it means.
That's true. Sammy is called a salty veteran of life.
Look, not all of us were there for World War I, okay?
Dude, Google's AI tool just confirmed I'm right. Is there anything more reliable than that?
No.
Oh, yeah, of course. Everyone should trust AI.
Grok, should we trust AI?
Goink.
Goink. Did you make that up or did you get that from somewhere?
I was talking with my wife about Grok, and like I think like later that night she was like, oh, what about this what was it called? Goink? I was like, yep, that's Goink. It. Goink.
Goink. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Three pillars.
Three
Roman,
pillars.
Roman, the young core guy, Crochet, your horse, your pitcher. And then your seasoned veteran,
bang,
Alex Bregman, who's been there before. He's been there. He's done that. He's won. He's lost. He knows how to. He's literally done everything at this point. So, yeah, keep him around. That's the next big thing. The Reds, I would say, before anything. I'm trying to think if there's anything I think that's more important than getting. No, I wouldn't say a Marcelo Meyer extension right now. I would say, yeah, you got to extend Bregman. Like you have to.
Yeah.
Or else this whole thing is weird, in my opinion.
It's just weird, and we don't need to spend a ton of time on the Bregman extension, but like the longer, I don't know, I'm very torn on if he'll opt out, and maybe the solution here is to keep the $40 million for the next 2 years and like add a couple years on top of that of lower AAV. I don't know. I think it's going to get done. I don't think he's walking away from this team, so I'm really unbothered by it.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
But one thing I do want to go back to, because you're talking about pillars, and if you'd asked this question 2 months ago, there would have been another pillar in there. It would have been Rafael Devers. And they traded Rafael Devers, and the Giants ate the entire contract. Yeah, the Red Sox took on Jordan Hicks, but the Red Sox saved a ton of money. And I know Craig Breslow and everyone with the Red Sox is going to say there's no connection here. With paying Roman Anthony and trading Rafael Devers. But on that show, immediately after trading Rafael Devers, when we're talking about how can the Red Sox make this right in people's eyes, there's add salary from outside the organization, go get guys. And like at the time, I don't think we were thinking they were going to be trade deadline buyers because they just traded Rafael Devers. And outside of a 6-game winning streak, they hadn't had a very good season. But it's add money from the outside, but also it's extend Alex Bregman and it's pay Roman Anthony. And they paid Roman Anthony, and they can say all they want about how it's not connected. But when you trade Rafael Devers, you have a lot of work to do to earn the trust of the fans back. And that goes for Craig Breslow, and that goes for John Henry. And I think we got to talk about the light that we see those two figures in right now, because I think getting a deal like this done should, in people's eyes, sort of regain some of that trust. Because, yeah, it would have been super easy to just ride out Roman Anthony on the minimum deals and you know, kick the can down the road like we've seen the Red Sox do in the past. And it's, oh, we'll worry about it later. No, no, no. We've seen how this goes. We're going to learn from our mistakes. We have this money available. Let's get this done now. Let's be aggressive and make sure that this guy is, as you said, Sammy, a pillar of this organization moving forward.
Mm-hmm. So I think you're right, first of all, when you relate the extension for Roman and the Devers trade. But I also think that's such crap for us to have to connect those two things. Like, when you have the resources the Red Sox have, you should not have to move one generational player to extend another generational player. But unfortunately, I think you're right with that. That is kind of sort of what this is, the very like simple version of explaining it. That's kind of sort of what they did here. As far as how I view John Henry, when he's gone and he's no longer the owner of the Red Sox, whether that's him, you know, moving on, he's older, or selling the team, which I don't think we'll ever see, I think I'll look back on him more positively than negatively. This recent stretch has not been good, but right now he's inching towards earning back my trust as a good owner. I wouldn't put him in that category yet. Like I said, shouldn't have to move Devers' money to get Roman Anthony extended. And I know it's not just because of the money they moved Devers. There were attitude problems and fit issues. But if we're talking about in the context of money and do I think those two things are related? Yeah, a little bit. So John Henry, I think I would move him from, like, I was furious, like, did not like the guy anymore, to, okay, I can put up with it a little bit at this point. Like, you're still not that early 2000s guy that we all loved, but you're moving away from that dumping Mookie Betts salary. Every time I talk about that, I just can't believe it happened. Like, it's such a stain on the franchise. But it, like we said, it's over. It's in the past. Craig Breslow is the weirdest GM in the world. Pat mentioned this.
Let me talk John Henry, and then we'll move to Breslow.
Okay. I got a good one on Breslow then, because this...
Okay. With Henry, I genuinely feel like from his end, there's a commitment to winning here. It's just not in the way that it was. And I'm not saying it's like less than it was. It's just different. Because in the past, the Red Sox could be in this position right here. And it's like, okay, who's the best free agent pitcher on the market this year? Is it Framber Valdez? Okay, he's going to do whatever it takes and he's going to get that guy. And that's going to be what pushes the Red Sox over the top. He's not about to go and give the 8-year contract to a starting pitcher. Like, he didn't do it with Max Fried, and he's not going to do it with any of the starting pitchers on the market this year. He's not going 8 years. He's going to do what he's comfortable with, but he's going to find different ways to get there. And we have yet to see how the end result is going to be. Like, are they able to win championships this way? Because we've seen them win championships the other way. We've not seen it yet this way. You do not need to forgive or forget what happened between mid-2019 and this past offseason, or even right now, if you want to hold the Devers trade against him and think that that's about money. To me, I don't think the Devers trade was about money. I think the way they've operated both immediately before and after it shows that it wasn't about money. But
they had San Francisco eat the entire contract. So you have to, there has to be a little bit of a money component if they chose a lesser return.
Okay.
We think.
Well,
it's not all about it. It wasn't a pure salary dump. That would be insane.
I'm not saying money wasn't a factor in the deal, because obviously it was, but I think it was not, we need to dump this salary. It was, we need to maintain the ability to do all of these things with money, especially as, you know, we move forward, you know, this lockout, could there be a salary cap? Could there be tighter restrictions on spending? Like, we don't know.
It wasn't the main factor, is a good way to put it.
They wanted to get him out of the clubhouse. That was the main factor. And yeah, it's, if we're not going to have this guy, we don't want to be paying him for the next however many years to play for someone else. So I think there is a commitment from John Henry to winning. I think signing Bregman, extending Crochet, and now extending Anthony, is evidence of that. It's just he's going to try to get there differently, and we're going to have to see if it works. Now, as for Craig Breslow, you said you had a point. Let's hear your Craig Breslow point.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to what Pat said the other day. Craig Breslow has been a great GM for like most of the year. It's just the trade deadline. Two times, he's completely botched it. And we'll get to Dustin May later in the show briefly, who was one of the guys the Red Sox added at the deadline this year. But like, look at the moves he's made, man. I mean, even the year last year, like, I've liked the moves he's made in just in the simplest way. Bregman, Crochet, Chapman, all-star, all-star, all-star. To a lesser degree, Justin Wilson. He's been awesome out of the bullpen. We all thought that move was weird. Carlos Narvaez. Who the fuck saw that coming? Not me. I don't think anyone saw Carlos Narvaez being one of, if not the best defensive catchers in Major League Baseball with an OPS in the 700s to boot. Like, he's not an automatic out. I kind of thought he would be, who's a good example? Like a Sandy Leon type, where he can't hit at all, but he gives you great defense and he'll back up Connor Wong. So, and he's got a great nickname. So, yeah, I think Breslow's made some awesome additions. He got the Crochet extension done. He got the Roman Anthony extension done. I love both of those. But the trade deadlines have been awful, and he's been knocked a bit for his communication. And then the other thing, Gordo, who was it? Was it Jim Bowden who said that he was tough to deal, that Breslow was tough?
It was Bob Nightingale.
Bob Nightingale, okay. Boob. Bob Nightingale said, and this is the same thing we heard about Heim Bloom, that other GMs don't like dealing with Craig Breslow. Is that true? I don't know. I don't think Bob Nightingale would lie, but maybe he got a bad beat. Maybe it's completely true. I don't know. But just that being out there kind of rings an alarm in my head. It's something to monitor in future trade scenarios. So I give Craig Breslow much more positive reviews than negative. Far from perfect. It's also only his second year as GM or whatever you want to call his friggin' title. I'm going to keep calling him GM because I feel like they just make up these titles. He's the GM. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he develops leading this team and building on what they've already built.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing with me, or for Breslow with me, is just the priority he has placed on extending young core players before they get to a point where they see what they can fully become and think, okay, let's play this out. Because Roman Anthony is the recent example here, but you had Bayo, you had Campbell, you had Rafaela, and then he placed an emphasis on getting elite talent this offseason in Bregman and Crochet, and then he extended Crochet. And I sit here, again, I'll repeat myself, I have a high level of confidence that they're going to get it done with Bregman too.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore,
I agree with you.
Furthermore, they obviously pushed chips in to acquire Crochet, and they were willing to put a lot on the table to go and get Joe Ryan before the deadline and Sandy Alcantara. We're going to see them do something like that in the offseason. Again, I have a lot of confidence that something like that's going to happen. And all of that has to do with Craig Breslow seemingly seeing this window as being wide open, not just because of the competition around you, but because of what your team is able to do. Because of what you said, because of his offseason, I mean, a lot of the up-and-coming guys are Heim Bloom guys, but the infrastructure is Craig's. The additions of the recent off-seasons are Craig's. So, yeah, Craig's got his fingerprints all over this thing, and I think a lot of people want to hate on the guy, but I think his job is safe and secure. I think he's done a good job outside of the trade deadlines, which, yeah, that's going to be something that as he ages on the job is going to have to learn to, yeah, you're going to have to get a little bit uncomfortable, and you're just going to have to pick the target and just understand that you're going to have to overpay for your guy as opposed to overpaying for a guy that's not your guy, but it was maybe the best prospect you were willing to give up. So you got the best player you could get with that guy. Like, the trade deadlines are going to have to change, but overall, I have a high degree of confidence in the guy.
And at least we know he's not scared. He traded Rafael Devers. Like,
he traded Verdugo to the Yankees too. Like, people don't talk about that. That's a ballsy move.
That's not nothing. Yeah, imagine if Alex Verdugo, he was a former top prospect in Major League Baseball. We see a lot of these guys act like late bloomers. Imagine if that happened with Verdugo and the Yankees. That is a big risk, Gordo. I think that's an underrated one. And then also, I maintain the Chris Sale for Vaughn Grissom trade. It's been awful for the Red Sox, but at the time, I thought that made a ton of sense. People wanted Sale gone. They'll act like they didn't want him gone, as if he wasn't, you know, hurt all the time. And I was a Chris Sale guy. I liked him. But that trade, like Vaughn Grissom, you thought you were getting, you know, a guy who would be a major league bat. It just hasn't worked out. So that would be, that's probably his worst trade, would you say, Gordo? And like that still, at least the concept, the logic was there, despite the results not being there.
Yeah, I mean, they traded a Cy Young winner for a guy who they've passed on over and over and over and over again for middle infield reps this year. So yeah, pretty fair bet that that's
pretty bad trade.
Yeah, not a good trade.
Cy Young and Gold Glove winner.
Oh, you want a Gold Glove? Good for Chris Sale.
He did. He's done it all now.
He just had a hell of a year last year, didn't he? And he was having a hell of a year this year until he got hurt.
I've never wanted like a Red Sox trade, like a guy the Red Sox trade away to succeed more, even if it just blows up in their face. Like he just seemed like,
yeah, me too.
He was miserable being hurt and he really wanted to win. And we will always have him looking like the Grim Reaper coming out of the bullpen to make Manny Machado bend the knee. Coward.
He's putting the finishing touches on a Hall of Fame career. You just got to sit back and be happy for the guy and hope that he wears a Red Sox hat into the hall. We'll see.
Maybe.
Said the Sox.
Probably not.
I think
White Sox.
Oh, he hates Chicago.
He's true. Not. You might be right. You might. We'll see.
But all right, let's before we get to enough said, let's talk a little bit about Dustin May. Made his Red Sox debut yesterday. I should have the line in front of me before I transition to the topic, but I'll pull it up. It was 3 2/3. That's what I know. 3 2/3, three earned. I'll get you the rest. All right, you ready? Dustin May last night, 3 2/3, six hits, three runs, all earned, one walk, four Ks. And
any pitches?
It was, I think it was in the 90s. Let's see. Pitches was 91, 61 of them strikes.
Yikes.
I mean, it was a completely different, I don't want to say a different arsenal because all the pitches, it was the same pitch types. It was just different usage. Like his cutter went from his least used pitch by a lot to his most used pitch last night. And he got some good results on the cutter. Like I think it was five whiffs on 15 pitches. Kind of dilly-dallied, got deep in counts. Like it was only one walk, but that's really what did him in. Like, yeah, pulled at 91 pitches, but they needed to get out of that jam and they had Murph come in for Pascantino. So it was the right call. May wasn't obvious. He was obviously not coming out for the fifth. He talked about how they see the cutter as a weapon pitch, whereas the Dodgers kind of wanted it to be a show me pitch. And he talked about how, yeah, they just wanted to get his feet wet and, you know, we'll go from here. But to me, that's kind of, I don't want to say the risk. It's the downside of trading for a guy who you like, but only has 2 months of control. Because I mean, how much time can you reasonably take with this guy to overhaul what, I mean, it's not an overhaul. You're not teaching him new pitches, but his arms. Yeah. Like I mean, his cutter was 2 miles an hour slower and it kind of felt like it was by design. And you slow the pitch down, it can move more. And so, yeah, they are changing things. Sammy.
I've gotten so many comments about like, let's put him in the lab. This is not a put him in the lab guy. You can't do the put him in the lab thing in 2 months. That's crazy. Like,
so look, my question to you is where's the upside? Because like, you can't give him a qualifying offer because he was traded midseason. And it's not like you get him for the offseason to work with him and say, okay, well, we're going to come back next season with this. So that's the question I have with acquiring a guy who struggled as much as May has this year.
Well, the upside would be what I said when they traded for him. My best case scenario is that it's like a Justin Wilson thing. When we are all confused, why are the Red Sox acquiring Justin Wilson? He was not good last year. Look, the metrics don't make him look much better. But the Red Sox saw something that we didn't, and Justin Wilson has been very good this year. That's my hope with Dustin May, is that we get a similar situation like that. Am I confident? Not super confident, but hey, let's see. He's got his feet wet.
I'll give you the difference, though, between a May and a Justin Wilson. Justin Wilson, the risk there was that you gave him, what was it, $2 million of guaranteed major league money versus a minor league deal, which I think, if you looked at his numbers last year, you would have thought, okay, this guy's going to get a minor league deal. Difference here is that they gave up James Tibbs, who was a big piece of the Devers trade and also was a first-round pick last year for Dustin May.
Two home runs. two home runs in his friggin' Dodgers organizational debut. I mean, I'm not super pressed about James Tibbs, but that is a pretty decent price to pay for 2 months of a guy who you have to hope you can tweak if you want to get anything out of him. And this is kind of why we were not thrilled with the deadline. It wasn't Steven Matz. It was the Dustin May trade. Like, nothing against the guy. I think he could bounce back. But in the next 2 months, really?
It's why we question, like, why not Charlie Morton, a guy who'd been pitching well now, like a guy who looks like he's figured it out now.
Just steady. And another thing with Dustin May, really quick, when I was watching, I haven't watched a ton of Dustin May, but I remember watching him on the Dodgers, and his something looked different. After watching for a little bit, I thought, just this is just naked eye, it looked like his arm angle was different. Didn't confirm. Today I woke up, saw an article from a friend of the program, Sean Bergeron, on Beyond the Monster. Dustin May's arm angle is down. He's slinging it more towards a sidearm kind of angle, and it's making his fastball drop more, and it's making it less effective. So that's where I go, one of two things. Either the injury stuff is catching up to him and he can't throw at the same angle anymore, because it is, just in general, a bad, unnatural motion to throw a baseball over the top. That's why you see so many injuries, guys like that, and guys who sling the ball generally have better health. Or it's by design and it's just not working, or not working yet. I don't know. But those are the two scenarios I can envision. The results have not been good on it, though. So it's hard for me to even cope with Dustin May right now and spin it in a way where he could bounce back.
Well, the truth is, like, the arm talent, we've seen it in the past with him. Like, it has been there, but it's, again, it's just, we've seen the injuries, the fastball velocity this year, the fastball sinker velocity is down around 3 miles an hour from where it was on average at its peak a couple of years ago. So it's not like, yes, Dustin May has that ceiling, but it's just, it's hard to know if it's still there because of the injuries. And if it is still there, it's hard to know whether he can get there right now, this year, in these 2+ months where the Red Sox have him under contract. The question for me is just, I do see Dustin May as a guy who could be an impactful pitcher out of the bullpen for the Red Sox come postseason time. But you don't have the luxury. Like, yes, right-handed arms in the bullpen, they're short. Like, Jorge Alcala got DFA'd and Jordan Hicks has not been good. He wasn't good last night, and it's been that way since he got here. So yes, you could use that right-handed arm out of the pen, but the issue is, they don't have the starting pitching right now to attempt to try him in that role. You've got other right-handed options like Justin Slayton, making big time progress on a returning faster and sooner than I think any of us thought he was going to, which is great. David Sandlin is being converted into a reliever in AAA. Richard Fitz could see that happen. We'll see about that. So they're going to have options. Uberstein, so they're not going to do it with Dustin May. Who?
Tyler Uberstein. He's good. He's actually pitching as we record right now. He's thrown 55 pitches for the Woo Sox. He's a guy who's Rule 5 eligible. He probably would get taken very early if the Red Sox didn't add him.
They would have better options to use in the majors, though. I don't know. It could be like a, what did they
maybe,
do with
yeah.
What's his name? Oh God, got traded again to the Dodgers. They traded him to the Reds, and then the Reds traded him to the Dodgers. No, not Penrod.
Oh, no, Van Bell.
Van Bell. Like, I could see them Van Belling with him, understanding that, yeah, he's going to get taken, and we just don't have... It's like, bring him up, and he mops up. And Van Bell didn't even pitch for the Red Sox, but bring up Uberstein, he plays mop-up role for a day or two, and then...
He did warm up, though. He warmed up for the Red Sox. He didn't get in the game. But yeah, just showing, I know Uberstein's probably at the bottom of that list for righties, but he is a viable option. He's had a good season, and like I said, he will get taken if they don't protect him. And hell of a name, Uberstein.
It's a great name. But yeah, Dustin May, it's going to be a work in progress with him, not just this year, but going into next year. It's going to be interesting to see, like, do they want to bring him back after this year? Like, is he a guy that they would have targeted in the offseason? Granted, I think all of us have kind of talked about how they need to add, like, a co-anchor to the rotation, and they probably don't need any more of these, like, oh, we can try to get him right type guys. But maybe Dustin May was a guy that they would have targeted. So we'll see if they work something through with him and he breaks through down the stretch. And it's like, okay, let's keep this relationship going.
Yeah,
it's all we'll find out. A
I
lot
do
is
like how he got out of a jam, I believe it was in the third inning, and he jumped off the mound and he was fired up. That was cool to see. Like, it showed he cared at the very least. He's not
red.
In that mindset of, I'm only here for 2 months, probably not going to contribute a ton, but let's see. Like, he was into it. So he looks like a Red Sox player too.
Why? Just big red hair. It matches the uniform.
Yeah, there's quite a few Irish people in here, like our colleague Pat Brown.
Bender Pat, as they call him.
Bender Pat.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All right, should we go to Enough Said before we get on out of here?
Yeah, 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 I got a positive one.
Okay, let's hear it.
Shout out to Kyle Harrison in Worcester today. 5 shutout innings, 7 strikeouts, 3 walks, 99 pitches. That part isn't great, but the results were good. He has struggled in Worcester kind of a lot since he got here. I think we're almost positive that is due to him being tweaked with the pitch mix, the usage, and all that. So I wouldn't read too much into the numbers, but today was definitely a step in the right direction as we head into that part of the season where we start to think about the guys we just spoke about, Sandlin, Tolley, those type of guys who might contribute out of the bullpen. I think for Harrison, it would more likely be a start, a spot start here and there if he were to contribute, because he doesn't have that explosive high 90s fastball. He throws mid-90s, throws hard.
His fastball is elite. But the reason I don't think he's coming out of the bullpen is because they don't need a lefty out of the bullpen. The only time you would go lefty is for a guy like Tolley, where it's like, okay, like this guy could literally be
that fastball. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, but his fastball is like the top of the charts. Harrison's is very good, but Tolley and Sandlin are like freak show 100 mile an hour. Well, Sandlin 100 miles an hour. Tolley, it's the shape and the speed is like 99. It's nice to have pitching prospects. But yeah, shout out Kyle Harrison. I know it's been a struggle. We know why it's been a struggle, so it's good to see him. Another guy, I don't think anyone would be surprised to see him in the major leagues this year. And boy, is he going to be under a lot of pressure being part of the Devers trade. And you know what's funny? He's wearing number 11 in Worcester.
I saw that, yeah.
I wonder if they're going to give him that. That might be... Would that be in poor taste, do you think?
I just don't... I mean, Justin Turner willingly took number 2 when everyone was mad that Xander left. So it's been done. But just like if you're him, it's like...
Do you even want that? Yeah.
Yeah. I don't even... I mean, I'm sure if he wanted it, they would let him do it. I don't know why he'd want it. But I'm very open to the possibility of him making starts down the stretch, especially as you get into late August and September. I mean, we're at the point... Like, Walker Buehler's got some incentives coming up that are based off of games started, where it's like... I think he's about to get $500,000 for starting this next game on Friday. And then I think in 2 starts, he's getting another $500,000. So with every further chance you give him, you're giving him more money. And I wonder how much longer they're going to keep this going with him. And if maybe they start rotating guys into that 5th spot, where it's like, obviously you've got your big 3 starting pitchers and Dustin May's your 4th. And it's like, okay, we'll give Harrison a shot here. We'll give like Fitz a shot. Criswell threw the ball well, like he's earned it. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see something like that because, I mean, Buehler, I mean, we're pretty far into this thing with him. We've had a million conversations about him. And with those incentives coming up for games started, I wonder if we're getting towards the end of the line with him.
So, Gordo, the 500K, the additional 500K happens after start 20, which is next, and then 22, 24, 26, 28. So a lot of it just shows that the Red Sox were... Yep, half mil every time. It just shows they were, you know... concerned about the health and wanted to incentivize him to, you know, stay on the field, be honest with the staff, don't push it because you're on a 1-year deal. So this is the top of the Red Sox rotation. I feel really good about the bottom. I don't think anyone has a clue. It is bizarre with the mix of guys. Like, and I feel like people are kind of sleeping on Richard Fitz, by the way. I know he hasn't been great lately, but remember how good he was in the beginning of the season. Big body, throws hard, good pitch mix. I wouldn't be shocked to see him, you know, rejoin that group. Don't sleep on Dick Fitz.
Yeah, or come back as a reliever too. I mean, his stuff would play as a reliever, upper 90s yep. fastball, could maybe even touch 100 in the short bursts. But yeah, he's had a weird season. I mean, the pec injury and how he tried to come back from that. I mean, pec injury in general, like that's not something that's going to be super easy for a starting pitcher to make a quality return from. So already, you know, he's got a big roadblock, a big hurdle. He came back. I mean, obviously it's been up and down, but yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of Fitz this year. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how they fell at the top of the rotation.
Sorry, Red Sox didn't exactly manage that situation well. They kind of, I thought they let him back. Do it. Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's on you guys.
Yeah, a little weird. A little weird. Kind of take care of your young guys.
Yeah. All right. My enough said. I was literally just wondering this on the drive home last night. I haven't seen vitamin water in forever. Is that still a thing? Does vitamin water still exist?
Yeah, the convenience store next to me sells it. Vitamin water? How'd that pop into your head?
I don't know. It shows when I drive, and I don't think I was listening to music. I was literally driving in silence thinking about vitamin water. But yeah, you can buy it on Amazon.
You can buy it at Walmart. I could never drive in silence. I'm way too ADHD for that.
I don't even think it was very good. Like I've had it like once or twice in my life. It was like the only thing at the vending machine, in the vending machine at the batting cage when I was a kid. So like I got it a couple times there and I was like, this shit stinks.
Did you get the sugar-free kind? It tastes drastically different.
Ooh, I don't know. There's a chance it was.
Because the regular vitamin water is very good. I like vitamin water, but the sugar-free one. And I'm not a big sugar guy. I try to stay away from sugar. I don't like how it makes me feel. I like how it tastes, but I just don't like how it makes me feel and like what it does to a person's body. But the vitamin water, you don't have the sugar-free one. It's not good. Just take the hit. Have the sugar. Enjoy yourself a little bit. And then get a tummy ache.
Do you remember the David Ortiz and Brian Urlacher vitamin water ad? Oh, if you don't, go find it.
David Ortiz
slams the shuttlecock into the opponent's knee and it gets wedged in his knee. He was playing with, it was Ortiz and Brian Urlacher versus these two randos. And Ortiz smashed it into the guy's knee.
Into his like kneecap?
Literally the shuttlecock was in his knee.
That's a great word, by the way. Shuttlecock for us badminton players.
Yeah. They used to say vitamin water, try it. And I did, and it was bad, but the commercials were good. And I feel like
that was their slogan. Vitamin water, try it.
I'm telling you, that's what the ads used to say. The guy would go, vitamin water, try it.
Okay, oh my God. I did. That marketing team. Unbelievable. Sometimes less is more, I guess. Anyway, vitamin water. Yeah, it's still around. Good. Open your eyes, kid. Maybe go see the vitamin water.
What do they say? Your taste buds change like every 7 years or something like that. So maybe I'll like it this time around.
I don't know. I've never heard that, but I believe you. I used to, I'm sure when we were kids.
You like different things than you didn't when you were a kid, right?
Yeah, like if one of your parents give you a sip of their drink when you were a kid, you're like, ew, it tastes gross.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Manischewitz, I tried it when I was a kid. It was like poison. And now it's like, that's like a sweet wine.
Yeah, Manischewitz is like the bottom of the barrel for wine. Yeah. But point remains. Yeah, like a beer. My dad had a beer. I'd be like, can I try it? He'd be like, yeah, go ahead. And then I'd hate it. And now I'm like, I can't wait to crack a beer and watch the Red Sox.
Hell yeah, brother. Can't wait to watch the Red Sox. Hate that there's an off day today. But we'll wrap it there. Appreciate you guys tuning in to episode 248 of Play Tessie. We Sox on the West Coast coming up. Couple of series. Padres and Astros. Do I have that right? Padres, Astros?
Yeah. Tough stretch.
Walker Buehler versus Nick Pivetta in the first game, which is ironic because maybe
Nick Pivetta actually used to be on the Red Sox.
And now he is good on another team, and they brought in Walker Buehler as his replacement, and he has been bad. So
going to absolutely hammer Nick Pivetta. Mark my words.
I actually could see them hitting Nick Pivetta pretty hard, but maybe hammer. I'm going to say they won't because I don't want to jinx it. But yeah, Sox Padres coming up. Nick Pivetta coming up, should be an interesting game. Stay up, watch the games. I assume at least one of them is late. Maybe just one of them. Stay up, watch it on Friday night. But yeah, appreciate you guys tuning in. Episode 248. Remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars, and hit the thumbs up on YouTube. You can find us on the WEI page. All of our episodes are in the Play Tessie playlist there, so subscribe to WEI. And then find us on the socials, at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. for Sammy, for Joe producing, for Pat on a bender. It is Gordo here for Playtesty episode 248. Roman Anthony was number 48 for one day, and now he's number 19, and now he's with the Red Sox for the rest of Sammy's life. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.